I have it on. Is it working? Can you hear me?
Yep.
Is it okay? Oh, there it goes. Okay, I think we're on. It's good to be with you here today. It's good to see each one of you here. As Brian or Gordon talked about, that Brian and I were in DR Congo. It is a different place. It's not necessarily a safe place to go, but we have people there. The Lord planted some of our people there. He planted us here according to His will. And we were glad to go there and see our people. And we've had a couple of congregations there for some time, and it's been some time since we've been able to go there for a number of reasons, but we were able to go there this time. We were able to establish one local and three missions while we were there, so that was good to be able to do that and to see the growth there. We have one elder there, Pascal, who has been very busy, and he's taking care of all of these congregations. But the topic of my sermon today is judgment. And I want to first read the definition that comes right from the dictionary. The first definition is an act or instance of judging. The second one is the ability to judge, make a decision, or form an opinion objectively, authoritatively, and wisely. The third one is the process of forming an opinion, evaluation, or conclusion by discerning, comparing, and carefully weighing the evidence. So we see in these first three definitions, we are, in judgment, we are really making a decision about something. Now the fourth one is a little different. It's called the last judgment or final judgment. And this comes right out of the dictionary. The final trial of all people, both living and dead, at the end of the world. Which we know, that's biblical. That's what Christ told us. And Strong's judgment is, in the Greek, is number 2920. And it means a decision. For or against a judgment. Here's one little boy's spin on God's judgment of Lot's wife. A Bible class teacher asked her students, "Do you believe the story about Lot's wife? How she looked back and turned into a pillar of salt?" We know the story well. One little boy said, "I sure do. Just yesterday, my mom was driving. She looked back and turned into a telephone pole." A little different spin, but I can tell you, I remember as a little boy hearing these Bible stories, and I could have got that mixed up just like he did. Didn't quite understand everything. You know, we often hear that we are not supposed to judge. But we make judgments every day in our lives. Some things are simple. These first two, not critical, but it's something we do every day. Food. Does it look good? Does it smell good? Does it taste good? Or maybe we just don't want something. Or maybe we have decided we don't like something, even though we've never tasted it. And I made that decision in the DR Congo. There, one of their favorite snacks is caterpillars. And according to the internet, 70% of people in DR Congo eat them. And you know, I made a judgment on them, and I decide I don't like them. I don't plan to try them. Clothes. We're shopping, the cost, the style. Do they look good on me? Are they comfortable? Would my friends approve of them? A house. This can be a little bit more of an important decision. Obviously the cost, the floor plan, the neighborhood, the school district, property taxes. Is it near local? And this last one is very important, spiritually. Do people live a righteous life? Do they repent? Do they get baptized? Do they follow the Lord? Or do they just not do these things? Or do they not have any religion in their lives? And we can see clearly that those last two are becoming very popular today. Very popular. But good judgment is a very important part of our lives. It can lead us to eternal life, but bad judgment can destroy us temporally and spiritually. We can see bad examples of bad judgment everywhere around us. Very common today. And today I want to talk about several different aspects of judgment. And first I want to look at an example of God's judgment against evil. Let's look at 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 9. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness, to be reserved unto judgment. He made that judgment on the angels that dwelt with him in the kingdom of heaven, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah and the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Destroyed the world, except for eight righteous people. Verse 6, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. And delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. We see his judgment is, there's no respecter of persons. We know the scriptures clearly tell us that he loves every one of us. So I'm sure he takes no pleasure in casting those down that have sinned. But he is a just God, and he will make that judgment. As it said in Strong's, he will make that decision for or against, according to how we live our lives. The next section, how does God want us to judge? In John chapter 7, verse 24, Judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. In John Gill's commentary, this is his comment about judge righteous judgment. Give your sense and judgment of things according to the truth and evidence of them. We are not to make unrighteous judgments. Or condemn somebody, because only God can make that final judgment. But we always must make judgments about what is right and what is wrong, and what is good and what is bad. In 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. Behold, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist. Wherefore ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. False prophets, false doctrines, false spirits. Try the spirits in all aspects of our lives. Is this good or is this evil? We should clearly be able to tell the difference, because we know what Christ has taught us. In Moroni, chapter 7, verses 10 through 17. Wherefore, all things which are good cometh of God, and that which is evil cometh of the devil. For the devil is an enemy unto God, and fighteth against him continually, and inviteth and enticeth to sin, and to do that which is evil continually. But behold, that which is of God inviteth and enticeth to do good continually. Wherefore, everything which inviteth and enticeth to good, and to love God, and to serve him, is inspired of God. Wherefore, take heed, my beloved brethren, that ye do not judge that which is evil to be of God, or that which is good and of God to be of the devil. This time of year, we've got elections coming up, and we hear all kinds of stuff, don't we? All kinds of stuff. And you know what? Some of it's evil. I hope we can clearly see it. Who would have thought we'd come to an election and the main topic, the main reason people are voting is abortion? For or against? Can we see clearly the evil in that? Try the spirits, we can see the evil in that. This is where we're at today. For behold, my brethren, it is given unto you to judge, that ye may know good from evil. And the way to judge is as plain that ye may know with a perfect knowledge as the daylight is from the dark night. For behold, the Spirit of Christ is given to every man that they may know good from evil. Wherefore I shew unto you the way to judge. For everything which inviteth to do good and to persuade to believe in Christ is sent forth by the power and gift of Christ. Wherefore ye may know with a perfect knowledge it is of God. But whatsoever things persuadeth men to do evil, and believeth not in Christ, and deny him, and serve not God, then ye may know with a perfect knowledge it is of the devil. I hope we can see some of these things that's going on are coming from the devil. There is no good in them. For after this manner doth the devil work, for he persuadeth no man to do good, no, not one, neither doth his angels, neither do they which subject themselves unto him. And now, my brethren, seeing that ye know the light by which ye may judge, which light is the light of Christ, see that ye do not judge wrongfully. For with that same judgment which ye judge, ye shall also be judged. We have to make right judgments about these things. We're going to have an opportunity to vote. And there's a clear difference in a lot of the candidates. We need to judge wisely in that. Psalm 32:5. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. We need to judge ourselves. That's what this is talking about, to judge ourselves. I acknowledge my sin. We must judge our sins. We must judge what we are doing. What do we need to correct? None of us are perfect. There's things we need to correct. There's things I need to correct. We must judge ourselves, confess our sins, repent of them. Look to the Lord. The third one, what things in our lives will be judged? Matthew chapter 12, verses 36 and 37. The words of Christ. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. We have to watch our tongue, watch our words. Once they come out of our mouth, you can never retrieve them. Something the Lord is warning us about. Third Nephi, chapter 5, verses 69 and 70. We have heard that it hath been said by them of old time, and is also written before you, that thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment of God. We know this, don't we? One of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not kill. But let's go on here. Verse 70. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother shall be in danger of judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. And whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Again here, our words, but it's more to the point, our emotions. Angry, hatred. So we see according to God's law, you know, we don't have to kill somebody. I don't think any of us are going to do that. But some of us can get angry, can't we? And we see that God has a judgment for that. If we get angry, we must repent. This word raka means, from what I understand, worthless. You know, to call somebody worthless. We have to be mindful of these things every day in our life as we go about our activities. In Romans chapter 2, verse 16, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. The secrets of men. We probably all have some level of secrets. Some things that we don't want others to know about us. Something we have done that we're not proud of. I've done things I'm not proud of. Judge the secrets. Our secrets, whatever secrets we have, they will all be judged. We can't hide anything from God. And you know, the scriptures in the Book of Mormon is very clear about secret combinations. Secret combinations. And I truly think in 2024, there are secret combinations going on everywhere in the world. Everywhere. All kinds of evil things planned. By the hardness and hearts of men. Alma, chapter 19. But behold, ye cannot hide your crimes from God. And except you repent, they will stand as a testimony against you at the last day. A similar scripture, the secrets. We can't hide anything from God. He knows everything about us. And that's what we will be judged for. The things we've done in this life. Of course, we have to know that no matter what we've done, except the unpardonable sin, and I know none of you have committed that sin, we wouldn't be here today. All of the things we can repent of and be forgiven. The Lord is quick to forgive if we're quick to repent. That's part of His love. That we can come back. If we've fallen in the pit, we can climb back out. In Mosiah chapter 8, verses 83 and 84. Even this mortal shall put on immortality, and this corruption shall put on incorruption, and shall be brought to stand before the judgment bar of God. to be judged of him according to their works, whether they be good or whether they be evil. And if they be good, to that resurrection of endless life and happiness, and if they be evil, to that resurrection of endless damnation. Again, our works. We know that's not popular in the Christian community today. But we'll be judged according to our works. Many of their thoughts are once saved, always saved. You confess to Christ that he's your personal Savior. That's all you need to do. You don't need works. But that's not what the Scriptures tell us. We will be judged according to our works, whether they be good or whether they be evil. And we will be judged by the commandments. We'll be judged by all the commandments. We see many religions, many people today that pick and choose their commandments that they want to follow. We know today, some churches don't preach repentance anymore. They don't preach baptism. They preach whatever the people want to hear, whatever's the easiest thing for them. But that's not what Christ told us. That's not what he taught us, is it? Let's look at Mosiah, chapter 8. Verses 61 through 65. But behold, and fear, and tremble before God, for ye ought to tremble, for the Lord redeemeth none such that rebelleth against him, and dieth in their sins. Yea, even all those that have perished in their sins ever since the world began and have willfully rebelled against God, that have known the commandments of God and would not keep them, these are they that have no part in the first resurrection. Therefore, had ye not ought to tremble? For salvation cometh to none such, for the Lord hath redeemed none such. Yea, neither can the Lord redeem such, for he cannot deny himself, for he cannot deny justice when it hath its claim. We read in our scripture earlier, in our first scripture, of his justice. All those people that sinned against him, the angels, the flood, Sodom and Gomorrah, they were condemned because that is justice. Because that is what the Lord has commanded us to do. This scripture is talking directly to us. This is talking to us. Those that have willfully rebelled against God, that have known the commandments of God. We know the commandments of God. We know them. So if we willfully rebel and turn away from God, he tells us what will happen. And over time, we've seen many in the church that have done that, haven't we? Still doing it today? Willfully rebelling and turning against God. Turning against his commandments. We know the truth. Like that rod of iron, the word of God, we got to hang on to it. You can never lose your grip. We've come this far. We have to keep going. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Verses 13 and 14. A very simple, short, straightforward scripture. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. The conclusion. fear God and keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. The most important thing we're going to do in this life is keep His commandments. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, wherefore it be good or whether it be evil. Fear God and keep His commandments. That's what the Lord has commanded us to do. Next verse is the scripture tells us what will judge us. What will judge us? In John chapter 12, verses 46 to 50. Again, Christ's words. And I am come a light into the world, and whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. Christ is that perfect bright light in our lives. We can see the darkness all around us, but that light is always there. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. That's why Christ came, to save the world. Yes, there will be judgment later, but He came to save the world. In verse 48, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. The word of Christ. That is what will judge us. His commandments, everything He taught us, the words of Christ. That's what will judge us. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, He gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that His commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. Hear His words. Hear His perfect example in His words. He did everything exactly as God the Father told Him to do. Everything exactly. These words He gave us came from the Father. And that's the example we need to follow, that we try every day in our lives, try to do everything that Christ taught us to do, to follow His words to the best of our ability. We can't get complacent. We can't let our guard down because there's a force that's coming against us. But we can resist it if we have Christ in our lives. He will always be there. Who will be the judge? John chapter 5. Verse 22. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. We know that the Father has committed so many things to Christ, that He will judge. I mean, Christ was the one who created all things. The Father committed that unto Christ. Let's read verses 26 and 27. For as the Father hath life in Himself, so hath He given to the Son to have life in Himself, and hath given Him authority to execute judgment also, because He is the Son of Man. Now let's read verse 30. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. Again, it talks about Christ not seeking his own will, but again, doing exactly what the Father has asked him to do. And he will make that righteous judgment. The next one, who will be judged? In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the thing done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. All will appear. Doesn't matter who you are in this life, how famous you are, you're a movie star, a great athlete, you're a president, you're a prime minister, you're somebody who thinks they're very important. They're all going to stand there just like we are. And we'll be judged that righteous judgment. I know many of the people in the world today think they're above the law. And some are. That has been proven. But they're not above Christ's law. They will be judged with that righteous judgment. The next one, when will we be judged? We know that Christ made a judgment upon our spirits when we departed from this mortal body. Let's read about that in Alma 19, verses 43 to 47. And this, I like this scripture. It gives us great hope. And it also shows us the other side, the side that we know that we don't want to go to. Behold, it hath been made known unto me by an angel that the spirits of all men, as soon as they are departed from this mortal body, yea, the spirits of all men, whether they be good or evil, are taken home to that God who gave them life. And that God who gave us life is Jesus Christ. So we don't have to wonder about what happens to us when we leave this life. We're taken home to Christ. I don't know how that works. I don't know if an angel comes and gets us, if we fly through the air. I have no idea about that. It doesn't matter. Verse 44, and then shall it come to pass that the spirits of those which are righteous are received into a state of happiness, which is called paradise, a state of rest, a state of peace, where they shall find rest from all their troubles and from all their care and sorrow. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? A place we all want to go. But we must be obedient. We must be obedient. And here's the other side of it. And then shall it come to pass that the spirits of the wicked, yea, which are evil, for behold, they have no part nor portion of the Spirit of the Lord, for behold, those chose evil works rather than good. Therefore, the spirit of the devil did enter into them and take possession of their house. And these shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. This because of their own iniquity, being led captive by the will of the devil. Quite a difference, isn't it? And we all know which side we want to choose. But you know, 10 years ago or 20 years ago, I could have preached this sermon. And some of the people that heard it would be gone now. We know they are. We have to make sure we're not one of them. We've got to be diligent. Somehow, some of these things, I mean, have some of these evil things, we hear about them in the politicians all the time, somehow the people's hearts have been hardened where something that is so evil, they are saying it's good now. Something happened to them. Something happened inside them and turned them hard. Willfully rebelling. We can't let that happen. We have to be diligent. And then there will be a final judgment, which we know will be an eternal judgment. Here are a couple of scriptures that describe our accountability, the accountability of mankind. In Alma chapter 8, verse 101. And we shall be brought to stand before God, knowing even as we know now, having a bright recollection of all our guilt. All of these people that are proclaiming all of these evil things and are so adamant about them and standing on the street corner proclaiming them, someday they're going to have that bright recollection of all of those things that they've done that were wrong. But if we repent of our sins, we won't have that guilt. When we have that bright recollection, if we have repented of our sins, those things will be gone. They will not be held against us. In Romans chapter 14, verse 11 and 12, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Every knee shall bow. All of these people that are so proud and so arrogant about their wicked ways, they will bow down and they will confess. They will know that they've been condemned and they will know why they have. How do we get to them now? I don't know. Some are so hardened, they're so hardened. The scriptures talked about that to some people, you know, in the Old Testament, that their hearts were hard. There was no coming back. Let's look at this final judgment. Revelation 20. Verses 11 and 12. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Verse 13, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and the death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. That final judgment on all mankind from the beginning of time. And I want to read a couple of verses in the next chapter. Revelation 21. I want to read verses 1 and 2. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. I can't imagine what this looks like. What does that look like? A holy city coming down out of heaven. What a beautiful and wonderful thing it will be. We know that, don't we? This is what awaits the righteous. Let's look at verse 7. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Verse 23. To me, this verse just sums it all up. It sums it up, but it also makes it something I can't comprehend. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Hard to imagine, isn't it? But what a glorious place that will be. Beyond our imagination. So wonderful. A place that the Lord has prepared for the righteous. Those that have that desire to serve Him, to follow His commandments, to repent and be baptized, to serve Him to the end, to remain faithful. That is what awaits us. A glorious place. It is my prayer that each one of us will remain faithful, that we'll remain strong, that we'll be there together someday in that glorious and wonderful place. I thank you for your time.